The title of my message is The Wrath of God. We have seen that God is sovereign. He is supreme. He does what he wants. That no one can say, why have you done this? As Nebuchadnezzar came to realize, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? I keep repeating this to emphasize who God is and get it in our hearts and in our mind, and I will keep doing it. We have to come to the living reality that he is sovereign, that he is supreme. Notice David's final prayer of thanksgiving before he died. If you could turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and I want to read this. Chronicles chapter 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 15. Wherefore, this is David's final prayer of thanksgiving. Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness, and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honors come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers, our days of the earth and as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Everything comes from the Lord. Thine is the power, thine is the greatness, thine is the glory and the victory and the majesty. Everything is of the Lord. And we have to come to the living reality that he is supreme, that he is sovereign, and he does what he wants and what he wills. And it's something that needs to be in our heart. Also, we saw that God, when he gives a commandment, it must be kept. He is sovereign. His commandments are one-sided. He gives them. We must do them. We can't say, well, I'll think about it. They have to be done. And also, we saw what condition mankind is in. God gave Adam a commandment. He failed. In Psalm 51:5 says, behold, I was brought in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We were born in sin. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. Romans 3 says, none seeks after God, and that there is none righteous, no, not one. And we also saw that nothing is by chance or accident. Everything has been decreed of God, and his providence is being worked out. We saw that the cross was no afterthought with God. Acts 2:23 says, him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel. Counsel is decreed. It's been planned. And the plan was for God, for Jesus to be taken by wicked hands and to be crucified and slain. It wasn't man's design. It wasn't Satan's design. It was God's plan. And last week we saw Christ the substitute. Substitute means one that takes the place of another. As Jonah died that these men might live, Jesus died so that we might live. And 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ oft also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Now we come to this week's message, the wrath of God. There was a reason Jonah had to be a substitute for these men. If you turn to Jonah, to verse 4, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken or was about to be broken. This storm wasn't by chance. God's sovereign, He's a supreme God, and He, God, sent out a great wind into the sea. But the Lord sent out. He did it. God did it. He does what He wants. And when Jonah went against His commandment, in verse 2, it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh." And then in verse 3, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord. There was a commandment, a covenant set with him that he must do it. And he fled from the scene. And he stirred up the wrath of God. And the wrath was the sea and all of its might raging against the ship. We cannot break His commandments and think we can get away with it. God sent out a great wind. He did it. It wasn't by chance or accident. God sent out a great wind into the sea. He was angry. And there was a reason Jesus had to be a substitute for His people. If you could turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." And as the wrath of God was revealed to the men in the ship, the wrath of God is revealed against how much unrighteousness? All. And who is unrighteous? 3:10 of Romans gives us a picture. There is none righteous, no, not one. The wrath of God is against all unrighteousness, and we're all unrighteous. When Adam sinned, God should have destroyed the whole world. He should have. But if not for God's great mercy in Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, He would have. But in Genesis 3:15, He revealed a plan, and that was a plan to save His seed. And that's why when God said in Genesis 6:7, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth," He should have destroyed everybody. That was His prerogative. But He decided to save a seed. In the very next verse, He says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." His seed's being carried through. So when the wrath of God came in the flood, He preserved a seed. He preserved His seed. The wrath of God is real, friends. I can't sugarcoat it. It's real. And it's only been in the last 4 years I even heard of the wrath of God. And without it, you have no gospel. You have to be saved from something. The word wrath is violent, anger, fury, a manifestation of His anger, divine punishment for sin. And when Adam sinned, we committed a crime and deserved death or eternal punishment. That's why it says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is what? Death." That's eternal punishment. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 6, 6:3, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." As Nick has said, God is infinitely holy. Holy, you could just keep saying that word forever. Holy, 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 holy. That's how holy He is. He is absolutely pure. 1 Samuel 2:2 says, "There is none holy as the Lord." And He is absolutely perfect. And 1 John 1:5 says, "God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all." And He absolutely hates sin. If you could turn to Psalm chapter 5, verse 4, "For Thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with Thee." Evil cannot dwell with God. He hates sin. So when Adam sinned, God in all of His attributes had to judge it. That's His nature. Psalm 7:11 says, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked." How many days? Every day. It's endless. He's angry with sin. He hates sin. Job chapter 19, verse 29. Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judgment. For wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that ye may know there is a judge. And there is punishment coming, and it's a wrath of God, and there is a judge, and his wrath is real. We cannot hide behind the love of God. God is of many attributes, and the attribute of wrath and angriness and different attributes is more in the Bible than the love of God. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed unto men once to die. We've all heard that verse many times, but is it real to you? It's appointed for men to die once. Then comes judgment, friends. It's coming, whether we want to believe it or not. And that will be the last day. That's when time ends and there's no more chances. And God's wrath will be revealed in all of its glory. And he will judge. And if you turn to John chapter 6, John chapter 5, verse 27 through 30. I started at verse 26. Actually 25. Verily, verily, verse 25. I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. There's a time coming where there's going to be a judgment, and some will be going to everlasting eternity with God to the presence, and some to eternal damnation. I can't sugarcoat it. It's in the Word of God. When Christ returns, it will be to judge. In Acts 17:31 says, because he hath appointed a day, that's the last day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead. He has given assurance by raising Christ from the dead that there's a day coming when Christ will come to judge, and he will judge the world in righteousness. In Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, so that's when his return, when he comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. That's his seed. It's been prepared before the foundations of the world. They've had a kingdom prepared for them. That's his seed. And if you notice in verse 46, there's the ones that go into everlasting punishment. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Everlasting punishment, the wrath of God, judgment, eternal punishment, and it's being revealed. And if you could turn to 2 Thessalonians in the scripture reading today, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, there we have it again, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, you have a place for you, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. He's coming with the angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You want to do your own thing? Fine. It's real, friends. That's why we need a substitute. The men in Jonah tried to row hard to save themselves. It's not possible. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You want to earn your way to heaven? Go ahead. You have flaming fire waiting for you. You want to trust in Jesus Christ as your substitute? Then you're going to be blessed of the Lord. The wrath of God was real to the men of the ship, on the ship. Jonah died for them that they might be saved. The wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. In 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's our substitute. All are unrighteous, and the wrath of God is against all unrighteousness. We were all children of wrath in Ephesians. And it looks hopeless, because we have no righteousness to get ourselves to heaven. But God sent his Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Christ died for his seed that we might be saved. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Sin brought the wrath of God. It was raging, friends. Christ came as a substitute. He came in his seed's place. You could turn to Isaiah chapter 53:3, starting at verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened up not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. There you go. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide his spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And in verse 4 it said, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. He was smitten of God. It wasn't by accident or by chance this was happening. God did it. And it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And he saw his seed in verse 10. And he bore their own iniquities, the seed's iniquities in verse 11, for his seed. The wrath of God came upon his son, and it should have came upon everybody who ever lived, but it hasn't. Why? Because in their place was a substitute. In his seed's place came a substitute. All this should have happened to us. Can you see the full force of it? Christ paid our punishment. And what have you ever done that deserves a reward? You deserve judgment, friends. How good are you? Christ came on your behalf. Don't you desire to know more of him? Don't you desire to know more of Christ? But yet, as soon as we leave here, we're back into our worldly activities, doing our own thing. But yet we have one that took the full brunt of God's anger, and yet we can't even learn about him, desire him. If you could turn back to Jonah. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. And Romans 3:25 says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. These verses actually go with each other. Propitiation, it means to appease, to avert wrath. And what the apostle is teaching here is that what our Lord did by his death upon the cross was to appease God's wrath. And the word appease means to calm or pacify. When Jonah was thrown into the sea, God's wrath was appeased. When Christ died on the cross, God's wrath was appeased. Can't you praise him for that? And Isaiah 53:11 said, he shall see the distress of his soul. Talking about the Father shall see the distress of Jesus' soul and shall be satisfied. He was satisfied with it. And God's wrath was appeased. Christ's blood for ours. His blood in the place of our blood. What a substitute. And verse 16 says what? Then the men what? Feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Do you fear the Lord? Do you really? If you've never seen the wrath of God, you don't fear him. If you've never seen him in his glory, you don't fear him. Jesus was on the cross on your behalf, friends. You better start fearing him. These men saw the greatness of God. They saw a substitute. And it says, these men feared the Lord exceedingly. And then they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Do you desire him? Do you want to learn about him? Then we better start showing some fear of the Lord. What a substitute. What a substitute we had and have. That's the only way we can get to heaven, friends. These men rowed hard in verse 13 to bring it to land, a boat, but they could not. And this world is rowing hard to get to heaven, to appease the wrath of God, and we had one in Jesus Christ. He shall see the distress of his soul and shall be satisfied. Appease the wrath of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We deserve to be thrown into the ocean. We deserve to go to the cross. We deserve all the stripes that Jesus had. We deserve to be the goats. We deserve everlasting punishment. We are children of wrath just as the other we once were. But yet God was rich in mercy. Friends, we should desire to learn more of this one who did this for us. We can't hit you on the heads or do anything. All we can do is give you the word. It's up to you guys if you guys want to learn about the Savior. It's something you guys have to decide for yourself. He's loaded through the Bible. This word speaks about Christ. It says in the book of John, this book speaks about Christ. You can find him from beginning to end. And yet how little of us know of our Savior. How little of us desire to know anything about him. It's because we like to go to church and then go do worldly things. We like to go to church and get back into the things that give us pleasure. But yet, if we truly, truly saw the truth of what I just spoke today, you'll desire to learn more about him, friends. He shall see the distress of his soul and shall be satisfied. What a substitute. Let's pray.